Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mag Show, and Gimmert's talking over me already! I love you, Kelly. Don't do that. It's fine. It's okay, I'm only kidding. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. We're here for the Mac Show. It's going to be a fantastic discussion about the new iPhone, the new iPods, and everything that went on Monday night, because finally there's news to talk about. Thank God.
Tuesday night?
Gosh.
Monday night, wasn't it? Was it Monday? When, was it Tuesday?
Was
it
Wednesday? Monday night?
Was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
I've drunk since then.
You had the run-through on the day, didn't you?
I wouldn't mind, but I was on Shandy's all night. Joining me... A marvellous, marvellous panel. Talking top left after his little sabbatical, Mr. Don McAllister. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Nice to be back again.
Good man,
I think I'm here
man.
Now for the next couple of weeks until I swan off somewhere.
Where are you going?
I've got that Macmania thing coming up soon.
It's another cruise.
It is to the Southern Hemisphere. I'm off to Australia.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, that life's hard.
Hey, tell you what, I've been working like a Trojan this week trying to get... I've got 7 sessions to deliver, so this week I've sort of cleared my desk and I've done 7 loads of keynote presentations, and I'm still not quite finished, and that's only just setting up the initial slides. I've got to go through them again and...
God, Bennett, I hope they're paying you.
We have an arrangement, but it always ends up costing me money.
Is the arrangement a free cruise round Australia?
It might be.
Oh, if you ever get a bit too pissy with them over the fee, then tell them to give me a shout. I'll come and talk crap for a week.
It's a lot of work.
I'm sure it is.
To be honest, it would probably be more cost effective for me to pay my way. And
well, I thought you were going to say for a second that it would be more cost effective to send you. send the butler. Next to Don, we've got Carl Swagger from the Philippines. How you doing, mate?
I'm well. I'm ready for the weekend.
Are you on petrol fuel again this week?
I am on petrol fuel. Yeah, propel.
Did you get that in the States, Kelly?
We have it. I'm not... We have a few of those, so I've seen...
But you wouldn't put it on your insides? No.
Well, I don't know. I've been known to drink Red Bull and that sort of thing on occasion, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, but it's okay as long as you water it down with vodka.
Oh, see, yeah, there you go.
Right, okay. Next to Kyle, we've got Kelly with a rather fetching lamp behind you, girl. You've changed location.
I have, and it's because I'm on the couch. I got my feet messed with yesterday, so have to keep them elevated. So... no, think different posters today. It's all
elevate. We like that. It's the way you should podcast, with elevated feet. Have you got alcohol next to you and the remote ready?
I don't. I have the remote. It's coffee.
Oh, okay. And, a good coffee and a remote. You can take that.
Yeah.
Well, you relax, girl. Don't task yourself now. Okay. And finally, fresh back from his lightning swift visit to West London and back again. Mate, you were... What time did you leave Cirencester on Wednesday?
2 o'clock, bus down.
And you got a back. So you were 12 hours round trip, including a 2-hour keynote.
That's the one.
Excellent, mate. You were impressive. Dr. Happy Mac, all the way from the southwest. Not quite southwest, but there you go, on the way.
Well, it's pretty.
It's close enough.
It's just mostly because it's mostly just the fact that there aren't enough buses up and down that make, you know, to make the times work better. And, you know, you could easily do it in the car, but it would cost a flipping fortune. So, yeah.
I had a mate, a good friend of mine came down from Milton Keynes. It cost him £14 return on the train. I thought that was pretty damn excellent.
We don't have a train station in Cirencester.
You're joking. Have you got inside toilets yet?
We don't need toilets. We've got all these fields about here.
Even Liverpool's got inside toilets if anyone hadn't stolen them. Boy. Already. Don't be starting on Liverpool, hey, hey, hey.
Calm
right,
down.
apparently, there's been a new iPhone. I was there, so was Steve Neighbour from the London Mac User Group, and we had all of this stuff going on, and there it is. It's a thing of beauty. It's 5 pixels high. It's Retina display. It's got tons and tons of other stuff going on. An A6 processor comes in 64 gig model. You can get black and slate or white and silver, which a lot of people have been slagging off the colours, I have to say. It's allegedly got 4G coming with it, and it's got it'll be across the world 4G, so everything everywhere in the UK is going to be happy. 8 megapixel camera and panorama and all that kind of stuff.
Not O2 on Vodafone though.
Is it not on O2? It is on O2.
No. There's no
4G. No.
No 4G on O2 and Vodafone in the UK.
No. More of the same, says the chat room already, so they're not happy. What did we think? Was it a good keynote, bad keynote, enough, not enough?
The keynote actually was all right. I mean, probably because we've seen Tim, Kermit Cook, I'm like, oh, thank you, it's been very well, we've spoiled a lot of products, and here's Phil. That was about it from Tim. Yeah, so that's what was good about it.
He does kind of have the presence of a bloke who's got a hand up his ass. Absolutely.
He's just trying a bit too hard. If he just toned it down a little bit, I think he comes across as just trying a little bit too hard, a little bit too enthusiastic. I mean, he's got a hard act to follow, but...
Well, I thought his first keynote, after Jobs had buggered off, I thought his first keynote was pretty good. He was okay, but then someone decided to make him say, brilliant. And he sounds like he's cowabunga dude. Awesome. It's got, you know, that you can't use those words with a southern drawl. It just doesn't work. No?
Yeah, it was okay. It was all right.
No, you do need to be Californian for some inflections, don't you?
Exactly. Totally rad, dude.
It was all right because he was only there 20% of the time. Everybody else did everything. So that's what made it okay. He only came back for the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was surprising. Kelly, what did you think? What was your opinion on the whole thing?
I liked it, and I think some of the stuff that stood out for me was some of the really small things. Like, he did come out in a black shirt and a pair of jeans and sneakers. Wasn't a turtleneck, wasn't New Balance. At least I don't think so. But I sort of like the callback in that. And I think he does well, and I think he's the same style of speaker as what Steve is. Like, when he's excited about it, you can tell. I do like that they hand off bigger portions to other people because I like to get their enthusiasm. You know, as much as everybody kind of eye rolls about it, like, I love watching Phil Schiller give that demo. Whatever it is.
He's good. I like Phil.
He's into it, and he's on top of it technically. And to me, that's a pretty neat thing, because I know that there are a lot of tech companies that have people that are who they trot out for the demo that are really not people you should show people.
No, I mean, let's cut to the real important things here.
Yes.
How buff did Phil Schiller look? Phil's been working out.
Yeah.
Because we used to come, his name on this show was Fatty Phil.
He's been testing, I think he was testing the Nike Plus stuff in the new phone or something. Because, yeah, he's...
Phil, well done, mate. We've taken the piss out of you mercilessly on this show. And you, particularly with someone like me, who's a fatter bastard than you'll ever be. And I've got to say, you look great, mate. You look absolutely spot on in that shirt. I think you've got to stop swapping the shirts with Scott Forstall, though. He wears one pro keynote, you wear the other and swap over. The other thing that's got me as well, here's the thing, $110 billion in the bank, and they're still swapping the clicker backwards and forwards with no hand wipes. There's going to be a serious infection in the upper management.
It could be offstage Purell. We don't know.
No, they were passing it on the stage. Yeah.
I know, but if you...
Yeah, but they could wash the hands off stage and then come
on. Yeah, yourself. Sanitize before, walk on stage.
I've got a little machine at the sanitize.
The next time we have a keynote event, I'm going to call it, instead of the live keynote, I'm going to call it the live cross-infection. Do you want to come and watch the live cross-infection with me? I'm serious.
You have to say that they've all settled into their roles quite nicely, I think, and they all seemed a lot more relaxed than the past couple of keynotes, because obviously, with Steve's passing, etc., I think they were under quite a lot of pressure in the previous keynotes. But this one, they all seemed to have relaxed into their roles, and they were all fairly, there didn't seem to be too much nerves. When you consider the audience that they've got and all the eyes of the world on them as well, I think they all did a really good job. I felt a bit sorry for Scott Forstall, though, because He didn't have anything new, did he? He was just churning out what we already told us at WWDC. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone sort of switched off at that section.
I gotta say, actually, when they started sort of trolling back through the iOS 6 stuff, I'm kind of like, what's the point?
Well, they've got to, because it's a different audience now, isn't it? I mean, not many people will have watched the WWDC presentation.
Oh, true, I suppose.
And this really is for, you know, this is the event where they introduce iOS 6 to the consumers. This is where, you know, the eyes of the world's press, who perhaps, although I'm sure everyone actually does already know about iOS 6, but theoretically, this is a different event. It's for the consumers rather than for the developers. So they have to rehash it. But they did keep it fairly short, I thought. They could have spent a lot more time, and they didn't, thank goodness.
It was pretty high level.
Okay. I thought, the one thing I tweeted out straight afterwards was, great keynote. Finally, because for 2 years nearly, I would have said, they haven't delivered a decent keynote. There's been technical stuff in there that people have gone afterwards, oh, well, there's a lot more than you saw on the surface. But one more thing had turned into one thing only. And that's a bad thing. They're a consumer electronics firm. They have a range of products. They've got to keynote that range of products. And I think what they've got to settle into is saying, right, this is iOS. This is when, Mac is. And starting to separate the design on the products, separate the things in their products of the lines, and do a keynote for the line. And they did that this time. This was clearly the entertainment one in September, always was, always will be. And they did it perfectly. And I said, what if the five stands, you know, Chatroom messed around last week with me on it, but what if the five stands for five iOS devices? And there was a couple of little rumours floating around on the day, and I said, it's a long money, but lo and behold, there were five iOS devices.
Coincidental. Just coincidental.
Well, I got to admit, me and Matt sat down in the pub afterwards and we got four pretty easy, and then we had to bullshit our way through it with the rebadging of the old iPod Touch.
iPod Nano's aren't iOS anyway, are they?
They are.
No, they're not.
They're a version of iOS, aren't they?
It's a flavour.
No, they're not.
It's a flavour of iOS. Thank you, Kelly. Back me up. Keep going, Kelly. Go on. Keep going. Come on. Back me up.
Well, that's what I've heard, is that the iPod OS is... in the current edition is iOS. It's running something much closer to what the phones and the touch run than what the iPod runs. And we were sort of talking about it before the show, that the classic is still there, even though no one said the word classic, not once. I'm convinced it's because of capacity. They must sell enough of them to continue to make them. And it's sort of like the Mac Pro, like, we're not going to update it, but if people keep buying them the way they are, we might as well keep selling them. They probably still have all the parts and all the good deals they made to get the parts. So it's,
they don't break
not.
The sales down, though, do they? But they must be selling them to keep it in there.
Yeah. And I think it's because it's like, isn't it 160 gig?
Yeah.
Big one?
Mm-hmm. So, huge.
You know, people use them as hard drives. So that's how when I first got mine, that was what I used it for. You could actually back up to it.
Yeah.
And so since most of my hard drive at 80 screaming gigabytes at that point was music, I just backed up the whole thing. I could listen to any song I had on my hard drive, and I had a complete backup if something went wrong with my laptop.
So. They haven't made it look any different, but you're getting the 160 gig iPod Classic for $249. Dollars. So that's about £189.
Awesome. Yeah.
No, I have to say, Dr. Happy Mac called it right on that. I mean, he was absolutely correct. He said they wouldn't kill it, and they didn't kill it. I figured they would be long done dead, honestly.
This is Carl Swagger proving that he doesn't call BS on people.
This is the man who
did in ATCO. Well done, man. Well done. DHM, you called it. Why is the Classic still around? Come on, mate.
Because it costs absolutely no money to the company. I mean, it's like, it's all bought and paid for. Years ago, everything, all the R&D is written off, everything's done, the parts are cheap. It's just, I mean, it must cost Apple between 26 and 27 pence to nail each one together, and they bang them out at 249 quid. It's like, that's cool. That's a load of money. Okay, they're not selling them in the multi-millions, but...
They will kill it off one day, but they'll only kill it off when they've got an equivalent product. If they know it's selling, they'll only kill it off when they've got a more modern version, which is completely solid state, and they've got they can get the cost down to the equivalent cost of the standard Classic, and then you'll see it disappear. But there'll probably always be a market for people who want to carry their entire music collection around with them, so there'll always be a high capacity iPod, unless we completely go over to the streaming model when good Wi-Fi is ubiquitous everywhere. But I'm sure we'll see it for a while. Yeah,
unless you're Carl Swagger and it's in FLAC.
It's the Mac Pro of the iPod lineup.
It's the Mac Pro.
I would disagree with that only because people complain way more about not getting a shiny new Mac Pro than they do about not getting a new Classic.
Mm.
True.
Absolutely.
I think the thing that surprised me with the keynote was that the fact that they did actually trot out the iPods and the iPod Touches and stuff. Because I always say, oh, they don't like to dilute the message. You know, it's going to be iPhone 5 and just iPhone. And then suddenly here we go. That's just half the... That's half the presentation, and then all these new devices come out. And even the fact that they've refreshed the iPod range came as a bit of a surprise to me because, the iPods have been on the downward trend. They're not really sort of got the market share that they used to have. People are getting iPhones and sort of using that as music players. So I think it was quite an eye-opener to me to see that they'd done that refresh. I really wasn't expecting that.
I think it's brilliant. I really think it's brilliant that they've done it. I think that, it was just what they needed. It was a breath of fresh air, finally, that they've got some real interesting across the whole line. And don't forget, they've ignored the iPod Touch pretty much, haven't they, since they went from the 3GS.
And what an upgrade.
They've kept both the iPod Touches, haven't they? That was a kind of a slide it under the thing. Everyone went, oh, the iPod Touch, it's now got the taller retina screen. It's now this, it's now that. And on the picture, there's the old one. You can still get it. I think it's just... They're just covering the whole market. Every single tiny chink in the market there's an iPod still there, right down from the venerable Shuffle, which didn't get updated at all. I mean, that's also pretty long in the tooth, but that stayed in the mix.
Yeah, chat room is chipping in already here. Windrider says the only thing that they can kill the iPod Classic with is a hammer. Gaz says he thought they'd kill it. Jenk says he wants to try the new headphones. Pete says you've got to have at least 128 gig iPod Touch before they'll think about killing the Classic, which is probably true. But are we going to get 120? I mean, there's a lot of people screaming for 128 in the phone and the Touch. And I just sit and think 64 is the magic number, really, isn't it, for NAND flash? That you can't see them going to 128, certainly in the short term. In another 12 months, I still don't see it.
Yeah. The chat room did ask if they're keeping or killing the 3GS, and I believe the 3GS is officially Old Yellered. It's been taken out back and shot. It's been a great phone for as long as they've had it, but now that the 4S is the $99 phone, and the iPhone 4 is the freebie, I think if anybody's still got the 3GS around, it's going to be like the Go Phone, pay-as-you-go situation or something like that is going to be the only way to get your hands on one now, because that sort of buy outright, no contract, no muss, no fuss is going to be 3GS, because it doesn't I totally just lost my train of thought. It doesn't run 6, I don't believe. If it does, it's going to have such a limited feature set, it's not going to be worth the upgrade. So I think it's just been phased out. While we're talking about the iPods, though, am I the only one surprised that we now have a Nano with a home button that doesn't run apps?
No, good point. Good point.
That is.
iPod Touch.
I think the Nano kind of looks like an old Nokia phone.
It does.
It looks like
holy crap, it does. I hadn't thought of that.
As soon as I saw that, all I could think of was Nokia's lawsuit.
Finally, see, Nokia is going to get their name back in the market because they're going to sue Apple.
It's the original Nokia
phone.
I saw a blog post before. It actually, the Nokia phone, the new Nokia phone, looks like two iPod Nanos stacked on top of each other. And that's what the new iPod Nano looks like as well.
It does.
That colored, I mean, it is a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, the colored back with the white front with the colored screen, very strange. I mean, the black one looks quite nice with the black and the black around.
The screen is you can tailor the screen color, can't you, yourself, which is interesting, because that's the Nokia Lumia has got that ability now as well to change with the frame. So that is a steal right there. You're absolutely right. But there's apps on it in the truest sense of there being a button for the app, but they're not. You can't purchase apps for it in the same way. They're going to have to be manufacturers built in. Firmware/OS change, aren't they, to get something on there?
That I don't know, because on the old iPod, you could buy an app out of iTunes. Like I have some, a couple of games I put on mine, like Breakout and something else. And the way you do that is just with syncing. There's no, obviously there's no Wi-Fi capability or anything in the old ones, but that was how you used to do it. And as much as the new Nano looks like a Nokia, it also looks a lot like the old Shuffle or the old Nano. I mean, because I have one I got for Christmas. And
oh, the taller Nanos, the ones that first, not the first ones that came out with video, but the one after that.
Right. Not the Hobbit Nano, but the one where it was sideways and had the video camera in the back.
Yeah.
I might be missing some of it. When did the Hobbit Nano come out?
Hobbit. It was the short one with the widescreen.
That was the fat boy.
It was like after that. So we had the tall, skinny one with the video camera in the back. And then we had the one that was short and wide, and you had to feed it six times a day. So, yeah.
So what was the tall and thin one called?
I think it was the Nano Video.
No. I'm talking about the colloquial term, like a Hobbit Nano.
The one with video and finally an FM radio. That was what I always heard it called.
That snappy. Snappy title.
It's nowhere near as clever as the Tamagotchi.
The Tamagotchi iPod. That, yeah. Says the chat room. Spot on.
That's awesome.
That when she's having a copygasm.
The OrcBook Pro.
And apparently, Teresa's husband is interested in the new ones. Does that mean I'm wearing a Hobbit on my wrist? Now, Master Matt's got one of those watch things. He's got the iPod watch type thing.
I love it.
Unless you turn it landscape, I think, yeah, and then it's going to be like a tricorder, then you're kind of stuffed, really. Are people going to bring out a watch? Has it even got a clock face functionality on the new one? Can you switch it onto a clock face?
I don't think so.
I'm wondering if anyone noticed that I didn't say clock right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. We noticed it, but we're just ignoring it.
Okay, good man.
We figured that's the Guinness talking.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Is that our show title?
I really can't see iTunes letting me get away with that one.
I really like the watch model. Rene Ritchie was on with me on the Two I Talk cast last week when we were speculating about it. And Rene works over at imore.com. And he's a fantastic fellow. If you haven't read their site, I highly recommend it. And he and I were talking about the thing that he was wishing for out of the Note was that the Nano would stay the same and be a notification device for your phone. So you can have your phone in your bag or in your pocket or whatever, and then you get Bluetooth notification to it. So when your text message comes, it pops up on your Nano in its watch band, or it will text message, a phone call, anything like that. Not that you can necessarily do anything about it. You know, you can't text somebody back from the Nano, but being able to at least know that somebody was getting a hold of you or something, that was pretty awesome.
You've got to say, Kelly, that really missed a trick there. Really missed a trick. That was a real opportunity to do it. They could have had the Pebble-like experience, most definitely. Yeah. No
and
question.
And all those people who bought those Pebbles, it's not like they're going to go forsake the Nano that they have. I mean, I love my last gen as of Wednesday Nano. I think it's fantastic. And it's really small. I have a little portable speaker dock with a 30-pin connector at the bottom. We should talk about connectors. And I drop the Nano in it, or I put it in the watch band, and I can wear it, you know, if I'm out doing yard work or whatever. I have music with me. I can strap the wristband to my steering wheel, and now I have my iPod connectivity in my car. Like, the whole thing, it's just small.
Tell me you got no leads running to that, by the way, because if you got leads running to that, you're going to get yourself in a terrible mess at an intersection.
No, what I have is a 6-foot aux cable, so my car doesn't have Bluetooth. But in my next car, I will totally have Bluetooth, and
it's going to wrap around like you wouldn't believe, isn't it?
No, it doesn't, actually. I've tried it, so, yeah.
You're still here.
Yeah, and it's only, like, it's not generally when I'm driving around town and have to make a lot of, like, you know, three left turns in a row or anything like that. Like, none of that. So it's not too bad.
So, I mean, what about the new iPod line? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah. It's all right. I mean, you got to love that little button at the back, don't you?
The little one that you... Is he talking about the strap button here?
Oh, the loop.
Yeah, the loop. Gotta love... Actually, you know, when I first seen that, I was like, okay, a bit corny, but now I kind of see it, actually, and they're... It reminds you of, you know, your pocket camera.
Well, the only thing is, and I'm serious about this, is it's just a shame they didn't put that on the iPhone. Because I think, really, that should be on the iPhone as well as the iPod Touch. And in fact, it probably should be on the iPhone more, because it's a much more expensive device. I mean, the number of times, you know, because I use my iPhone as my camera. And if I'm out and about, sort of being a tourist or something, and I'm taking lots of photographs, the number of times I've really worried about dropping the phone, you know, in a when I'm taking a photo, that loop around your wrist would be fantastic.
Mm.
Truly.
So the loop at the bottom there, it's a little cheap, crappy piece of plasticky type Velcro-y, rubbery thing. Price?
£25.
No,
$29, like everything else for Apple that's free, a little isn't
it? Gizzy. No, it's free. It's not free. It's $10.
I thought it came with the iPod Touch.
It might come with the iPod Touch, but if you want to buy it on its own, it's $10, $9. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, so meaning what they're telling us is that the one that they're going to give to us free eventually will break. So
yeah. Now I thought they capitalized that and really ripped the heart out of the consumers with it, but they haven't. Well done, Apple. But
yeah.
Kelly, you said we should totally talk docks.
Connectors.
Speaking of Apple's $29 piece of plastic,
you everything bastards, happened. You utter bastards, $29 for that.
For which?
Well,
for the Lightning to 330 pin adapter, £20 in the UK.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, Don, please. How much is a pint of milk?
It's not just a connector.
Now answer the question. How much is a pint of milk?
I don't know. But
exactly. There's my point.
No, the thing is, because it's not just a connector, because people keep thinking it's just a...
Oh, it's,
you know, it's
so much more.
And a piece of plastic on the other, and there's some wires inside that connect them, but it's actually a digital to analog converter, because they're doing some clever stuff inside the connector to enable the lightning... I keep calling it a lightning conductor. The lightning connector interface with, you know, the 30-pin connector, because... They've got to convert the digital signal to analog signal from the analog out, and they're doing all sorts of clever things. I mean, if you just want a cheap cable to synchronize or to power up your device, you just buy one of the USB, the micro USB ones. I think they're £15, which probably is still a bit expensive. But the actual converter, it's not just a standard converter. There's some gubbins in there. It's like the Thunderbolt cable. There's circuitry and all sorts of chips and things in there to convert signals around.
Don't you try backpedaling into be a man of the people now, mate. You shut it.
I'll tell you what, it might do lots of interesting gubbins, but I'll tell you what it doesn't have in it.
What does it have in it?
Audio out.
Ooh.
What's it that? Does audio have audio.
It does have audio out.
It does have audio.
It does have video out.
Video out. No video out. So if you want to do your presentations from your iPhone, and I would assume from the iPad when that comes out soon, then you have to hook up an Apple TV to your projector.
Right.
Yeah, at the moment, there are Lightning to HDMI and to the VGA thingies coming out soon, they say. So yes. It's planned, but they're not out yet.
Well, luckily, that'll be £60.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do Lightning, Apple have got to do Lightning for a reason. And they've got to then start spreading it across all of the other lines for a reason. And I don't get why they've done Lightning, because at the moment Lightning is just smaller, nothing else. So if it's, well, hang on a second, just a second. It is a digital interface rather than an analog interface. Absolutely, I get that, Don. Thank you very much. And there's got to be a chip going on, because the actual connector is too long. It's got that Thunderbolt chip extension going on in it.
For £30, there better be a damn chip in it. Go on, sorry.
Exactly. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. So, at the moment, Lightning is doing sweet FA for you. That's my point. Something has got to be coming, because Lightning is not surpassing what the 30-dot connector already does. What else is coming?
Wait, what do you mean? In terms of speed or what?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about lightning being close to Thunderbolt, and let's not lose the cross analogy there between the two of them.
That's totally true, yeah.
There's got to be something going on with data transfer. There's got to be something going on with speeds. There's got to be something going on with types of data, those kind of things.
Okay,
and
so
yet what you currently have doesn't do anything more for you in the current device than the 30-pin connector. What's coming?
So, speculation, completely unfounded speculation on my part. I think
never stopped us, girl. It's never stopped us.
I think, well, and this isn't, I read a thing, I know a guy, I have a friend. It's nothing like that. This is just what I think. And that is, they had to get rid of that connector because of battery. Because Apple continues to innovate in batteries. This is something that I'm kind of bummed about. Is that Apple doesn't get a lot of credit for display stuff that they do, even before Retina display. Apple was doing great stuff with how many pixels they could cram into a display, you know, well before that. Also, battery life. Like, Apple's ability to make the Retina iPad have the same battery life as the pre-Retina iPad, given all the extra other stuff it does. It has to power a Retina screen. It's got all that GPU power, and it still has the same battery life. The new phone has more Retina screen and more battery life. They had to get rid of the, 8-year-old 30-pin connector. So I think that's the first reason why. I think the second reason why probably has to do with digital and stuff. It's not speed. I know there are a lot of people whose knickers are in a twist about the fact that it's not a USB 3 cable, but it doesn't matter because a USB 3 cable isn't going to make the syncing any faster. The limitation at this point of syncing, even at USB 2, is how fast you can write to the flash memory in the phone, which is right near the top of what USB 2 is capable of. So as long as your USB 2 cable is running full out, the bottleneck is not the cable. It's the flash memory in the phone itself. It's how fast you can actually write to it. That's the difference.
So with that,
a new USB 3 cable, and it won't sync any faster.
So what we're saying is, with that in mind then, Kelly, we've got lightning on one end, and on the other end, we've got USB 2, because that's maxed out based on the flash. So the logical thing would be to say, well, is there a lightning to Thunderbolt cable coming, and what's that going to give us that's any different? Well, from what you're saying, sod all.
Well, there's things now, though, that you benefit from. I mean, one is size. That's the first thing they said. You know, to actually make the phone the size they have, they had to reduce the size of the connector, so that's the first thing. Reliability. So you haven't got these 30 fragile pins and this horrible, you know, connector that sort of fits in sometimes and doesn't fit in the other time. It's a solid plug with these lugs at the side that just pops in and, you know, it makes a secure connection and is very reliable. And
also reversible.
Pardon?
Reversible. It doesn't matter which way
reversible
you plug it in.
Reversible as well, yeah. So you don't have to worry which side. I mean, how many times have I tried to put a USB in? Virtually every other time, you know, you're trying to put a USB plug in, it's the wrong way to turn it around. So there's that as well. But you know, and reliability, you know, it's a lot less fragile than the existing connector. So I think there are benefits to be had now, but I'm sure there will be more benefits coming down.
So are we going to be getting a lightning connector on new MacBook Pros, on iMac, on Mac Pro? You know, is this connectivity going to translate down into the PC, the personal computer?
I would imagine interface? So.
That no, iPad yes.
Yeah, iPad definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that definitely. I don't know that we're necessarily going to get a lightning to lightning cable.
Yeah, that's
like,
my point.
Option into the side of the laptop. I don't think that's going to happen. I looked up iPod out because I knew we had a post about it over on Tua, and so part shameless plug and part informational. What it won't do in the new adapter is iPod out, and what specifically iPod out is something that we have a lot of here in the U.S. which is when you plug in something to the 30-pin port in your car, you can control your iPod from the steering wheel controls or from the radio dial, you know, forward tracks and back tracks and all that. You can do that if you connect to that. That functionality is what iPod out is called.
Okay. I just see it. Okay.
Or if you have an amp that has the dock, like my Denon amp has a place where I can put an iPod dock into it. And when I put my phone in there, I can control it using my Denon remote and not have to go to my iPod and mess around with it in order to skip tracks and stuff.
For me, I've just got it in my head. I like the idea of something smaller and quicker and easier. The 30-pin connector looks old. It looks 70s. Mm. You know, I get that. It's fine.
It's very parallel port now. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. LPT1, definitely.
But they don't need all those pins anymore.
No, exactly.
They don't need FireWire and...
But they've chopped the market heavily there. So what they're saying is every dock, every adapter you've got, you're sitting there with a Bose sound system that's £250 that you're like, hell, you know, are you saying my new iPhone 5 won't fit this? Well, unless you give us $30 and then the adapter's going to fit, that's fine.
No, but you're getting the adapter. Someone tweeted before. I assume you'll just get the Lightning to USB connector in the box, but it actually says you actually get the full connector.
Well, you get the adapter.
The 30-pin adapter, yeah.
As well as?
Apparently so.
Oh, well, that's not bad. If that's
so, you know, you don't really need to buy it separately. It will actually come with the phone. But
well done, Apple.
Pardon?
Well done, Apple. It'll be handy for other things, I think, as well. Mm. If you have a little speaker dock like I have, or you get a new phone and you have the alarm clock with the 30-pin dock in it, you know, having something like that might be useful. The thing that a lot of people don't seem to be considering is that my iPhone 4 has a 30-pin connector and it still works. It didn't become obsolete just because I got a new, one exists.
Whoa, hang on a second,
I can use mine.
Let's be really clear here. I'm not running it down and I'm not saying it's not relevant. My question is, what's coming? Because they've got something now which has potential to think like Thunderbolt, to work like Thunderbolt, now that it's digital, now that it's got chips in it and that kind of stuff. What's coming? There's got to be something coming to go on the back of this, because Apple is not going to redesign the entire connector just because the old one looks like it's the 1970s. There is something coming. Apple has got to be capitalizing on this. And if the NAND flash is the thing that's a limitation, there's a change in the NAND flash coming up in the next set of devices. You know, something's got to change. They wouldn't have gone through this process without there being a place for it to go.
Well, I think it was also part innovation, though, you know, because everybody knows every single one of us at more than one point in the last year has heard they wouldn't have done that if Steve was still there. And I think this is not necessarily to spite those people, but I think it's definitely... a piece of innovation that they're putting out there. Like, you know, we can continue to innovate. We still can come up with good ideas. What the adoption curve is going to be on this is going to be interesting. And I know that because, remember, this isn't the 30-pin that came with the first generation of iPod. Mm. You know, they went through a couple of iterations with the iPods before they settled on the 30-pin. And the whole reason everybody's having a cow about all these cables is that everybody's been collecting them for their iPods for years. And the thing I noticed this morning, it was a whole thing on the Today Show here, was they're doing a whole thing about the new cable in the new iPhone. And I just thought, you know, every time I bought a cell phone before I had an iPhone, I had to buy all new things. If I needed an extra power cable, if I needed one in the car, if I needed one that had a USB end so I could charge off my computer, I had to go buy all new ones of those every time I got a new phone anyway. So the fact that I've had cables that have worked with both my iPhones previously makes me pretty happy.
Mm.
It's just sort of a bonus. It's not the pain in the neck. And it's, you know, I know things have settled down. I know things, particularly in Europe, are much better because of the whole micro USB thing that y'all got going, which is fabulous. But here, you know, that was always the case. And so I think the problem is just a lot of people have over the years accumulated so many of these cables that now everybody's freaking out over what they're going to do with them. But I don't know that in real life for most people, it's going to have that kind of impact. It's going to be, I need one extra cable because there's the place in the kitchen where I charge, or I need one extra cable because I charge in the car.
I don't think anyone's pissed. I mean, we talked originally in the pub on the night of the launch, you know, who's pissed off about the changing connectors? Not a single person. Not one person raised their hand and said they were upset about
I'm very, very happy, and I'm going to be damn happy at 4:30 in the morning when I went, crap, I forgot to charge my phone.
Because
I don't have to sit there and turn on the light and figure out if I got the damn pin in the right way or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Actually, I need to put a correction in as I've been corrected by the forum that unfortunately that graphic has actually been withdrawn. And I've just gone across to the Apple website, and that doesn't appear now on the Apple website. It doesn't say that you get that. So it looks as though Unfortunately, you do just get the Lightning to USB cable and not the adapter, which is a little bit sad.
I think there's some points in the chat room here. Jenks is saying, Steve's not here. Steve is very much dead. Stop talking about what if Steve was here. And I agree entirely. I think Apple is no longer about what would Steve do. I don't think it has been really ever since the minute he died. I think they are carving out their own path, and good power to them. I think it's exactly right.
Well, and that's what I was saying, is that I'm not saying I agree with those people, but everybody's heard that.
Yeah, everyone's saying it
so,
on a regular basis. Yeah, I agree entirely. They're also saying... every podcast I've listened to so far is talking about everything else apart from the phone itself. Wonder what that means. Good point.
We already knew everything about it
before. Well, means that everybody wants to go and touch it first.
Yeah, well, no, that's interesting. Now, here's the point, because I was in the... I want to say thanks to Gavin, by the way, who's one of the techs at the Apple Store in Solihull. My battery issue this morning, he sorted it out for me. Cheers, Gav. But we were talking, saying, you're getting the iPhone 5, and I said... I want to have a look at it and I want to have a play with it before I buy it. But I mean, they're on a 2-week delay already, so that's not everyone's thought process. But that links in with what you're saying, Kelly. I want to have a play with it before I think about buying it. Because actually, my iPhone 4S is great. I love it.
And I'm hearing from a lot of people similar things. Like, you know, I'm really happy with my phone. Mm-hmm. So I'm not super hot to upgrade. And I think that's fantastic. I don't remember... This was kind of the thing with my 4. When I upgraded from my 3G to my 4, the thing that I was excited about was the better camera. I wanted a better camera. Yeah, I wanted to be able to shoot video. That was what I wanted out of it. And that's why I was a little bummed about not picking up the 4S, was just because it has a better camera, and that makes me very happy. Because I use my camera. I back up my photo roll regularly, and yet there's like 1,400 or 1,500 pictures on my phone right now. Because I take pictures all the time. So I want the nicer camera upgrade, but I'm totally happy with my phone. And I know a lot of people who, with the iPhone, are saying that, like, yeah, my contract was up 6 months ago, and my phone is fine. I love my phone, and there's nothing the new one does that I'm dying to have, you know? So there's a lot of that going on, I think. And I think this is what people mean when they say, like, oh, Apple stopped innovating, and Apple's being boring now, and all of that. I think the bigger issue is sort of what a lot of people aren't thinking about is, I like my phone. I like how it is. I like what it does for me. And the stuff that comes out with software updates, you know, iOS 6 is going to do a lot of stuff that even on my 4, you know, the phone that you can now walk into AT&T and get for free, you know, that phone is going to do so, so much because of iOS 6. And people are just more pleased with it. I mean, when we all had dumb phones, remember how exciting it was when your contract was up, when you had any kind of ability to upgrade because you could get off the junky slab of tech that you had in your hand and you could maybe get something that sucked slightly less, not better, just less bad. That's the thing that I think Apple has really done for the mobile market as a whole, is made it so that 2-year contract was slightly less onerous, at least in the US.
Hot off the press here, this is real hot news. When we started the show, if you were ordering an iPhone, it was 1 to 2 weeks delivery. Then 20 minutes ago, it was within 2 weeks delivery. It's now 2 to 3 weeks delivery. That's how fast this thing is selling. During the we've been running for about 40 minutes. During 40 minutes of this show, the iPhone 5 has gone from 1 to 2 weeks to 2 to 3 weeks in delivery time.
Can you just hang on 1 second? I got to call my stockbroker. Just hang on.
One of the things that impressed me.
You're going to buy one Apple stock.
You know, that's all I can afford.
Sorry, Don. Go ahead.
There's a site where you can get it that's called oneshare.com, and they send you the nice, beautiful stock certificate.
For one Apple share.
It's like one Apple share, or they have like one share of Microsoft or Disney or other ones that have like a cool stock certificate. You can buy one share and they will send you the certificate and it's all fancy.
Do you guys realize when we started doing this podcast, Apple stock was at $330? It's doubled since we started doing this podcast. Go on, Don, you're making a point, mate.
Well, the point I was going to make was that going back to the point of, you know, people are waiting to see and hold it and view it and see what it's like in real life. I took a look at one of the videos that one of the journalists posted immediately following the event, because, you know, with Apple, like, they have them on display and you can go along and you can try them out. And I was absolutely amazed at how fast it was. The guy was just sort of scrolling through the screens. It was really, really fast. But the thing that blew me away was the camera. He literally just went into the camera. The camera opened virtually instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And he just kept tapping, you know, really, really fast the shutter. And it was taking photos in rapid succession, much, much faster than the current thing. And I think, you know, with this new A6 chip and the improved optics, that we're going to really we will see like a two times performance increase on most of the things on the phone. And that's it's no slouch now, but it looks really, really quick, the new one.
I mean, there was cameras out there for mobile phones that were, you know, touting as good or better specs, but certainly the i4S is closer to a day out camera than anything else in terms of the smartphone market, in terms of repeating of shooting, like you just said there, mm-hmm. in terms of quality of image, general white balance capability without, I mean, because don't forget, it's shooting a JPEG, so you're not going to have infinite flexibility if it exposes wrong. And even things like pointing it into the sun, it does a far better job of working out than a lot of compact cameras do.
Well, and the thing I think is using the phone, that's the barrier for me. The photos are nice when you get them, but it's the whole rigmarole of, you know, take the time it takes to open the shutter and then, you know, but I think we'll be impressed when we see the new phone, just how quickly it performs as well as the quality. Mm-hmm. And you've got this new panorama thing as well, which I mistakenly thought wouldn't work on the 4S until I found the hidden button you have to press to make it work. But that that works really well.
Last thing then to discuss is the earphones, because there's a new set of earphones out there and they ain't cheap. I mean, these things are running in, if you want to buy them, Apple in-ear earphones with remote mic, $79. And they've only got three. Is that right? No, I've got
really?
The wrong one. No,
$29.
$29. No, I'm looking at the wrong one.
Oh, yeah, cheapest chips.
cheapest chips. They've got a thing for dynamic airflow. And they're equivalent to things that cost hundreds of dollars, they say. They're not selling that well, though, because they're on 1 to 3 day delivery. So they're not quite going as well as the phones. But Apple made a lot of claims here about the fact that they were the people that had invented dynamic airflow and that kind of stuff. And on Wednesday night, I think it was Pete, if he's in the chat room, and he's got the link for Amazon. Samsung, ironically, do some earphones that have got dynamic airflow in enhancement on them. So it's Apple copying Samsung. Oh, dear. What do we think to the earphones? Good, bad, different?
They better live up to the hype. I mean, that's I'm kind of an audio buff and these kind of things. I like how they look. Again, it's another launch forward. It's another design forward. I think it goes well with what the phone's about, with the new the new pin connector and fine. They just better live up to the whole $29 hype.
They're not really aimed at audiophiles. They're very much the earphones that you get with your iPhone. They come with the new iPhone. They also come with the new iPod Touch. So it is a replacement for what's perceived to be the free iPhone headphones that you get with the iPhone. So they're not really going to be, you know, for true audiophiles. But from all the reviews that I've read, you know, they sound good. There's a nice bass response to them. They're much, much better than the existing earphones. And it, unfortunately, it's one of those things, you know, it's subjective, isn't it? You've got to get a pair and try them yourself to see what you think.
I've got to say, the Apple ones never stayed in my ears.
Mm.
So that was the
big
thing.
A lot of people had that problem.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I thought it was just me.
No, they'll stay in my ears, but I hate them. And my husband, I don't remember if it's both fall out or just one. And I know someone else who, like, it'll fall out of one ear, but not the other. And, you know, just generally, they're a pain in the neck. The only reason I was ever able to tolerate mine is because I sent in for replacement headphones for my Shuffle years ago because they broke. And I just wanted to make sure I had that backup pair of just the pack-ins that were workable. And they fixed them under warranty, and they sent me back a package of like 5 pairs of the little foam pads that used to come on the old iPhone headphone or iPod headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still have like my little stash of those. And so if I put the foam things on them, they suck slightly less, but again, not good, just less bad. So I'm hoping that the new addition of the pack-in will be less aggravating and therefore make people less stabby.
The next stab. Ukulele Ando ukulele playing Andy Inatko said the earpods are nice. Earpods are nice. He liked those. They make great cat toys, apparently, says Batwench. The earpods should be decent enough upgrade, but they won't be enough for audiophiles at $30, $35. And Super Chicken says his $35 Sennheisers urinate all over those.
How do you get $35 Sennheisers?
I want to know how a Sennheiser manages to urinate. That'd be the more impressive thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Also impressive, but whenever I've looked at Sennheisers, they've all got a three-digit price.
There's pee coming out of my earphones. Mind you, having said
stop stabbing them.
If that's possible, my son would make it happen. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're fantastic. We love them to bits. Can't do without them. They're absolutely brilliant. Russ in the chat room is clarifying that he meant they were better. I think I got that, mate. Sorry. UK2 have been supporting us for a long, long time. If you want a domain, and don't forget to go to Paul Wheatley's Chuckle Corner, because rather stupidly on the iOS show the other week, he went through the motions of buying a domain. And he bought Paul Wheatley's Chuckle Corner. And he didn't actually buy it, unfortunately. So Rod T bought it for him and has put all the pictures of his all the pictures of his stag do, his bachelor party, on there, much to Paul's upset. So if you want to see Paul Wheatley in some get-up that he allegedly doesn't wear during the week normally, then you can go to Paul Wheatley's Chuckle Corner. It's in the show notes for the iOS show. Do go and have a look. But if you did want to have Paul Wheatley's Chuckle Corner, you could have it up and running within a minute. All you got to do is buy UK2.net. Stop advertising Propel, Swagger. We don't piss the sponsors off. You've got to go and buy a web domain, get it off us, and you get 20% off that domain price. If you use Site Builder that's on there, they've got some templates on, you can have a website up running within a minute. It's that easy. It's brilliant, and it's fast, and it's efficient. You've got to start clicking the click-throughs for us. We need our sponsors to feel like they're getting sponsorship worth money. You know, as nice as it may sound, I haven't worked on a Friday for 4 years. So we could do with people making sure that the sponsors know that people are listening. And we are getting lots and lots of people. Every week, we've got 60,000 people listening to this show, which I think is fantastic. And if we get an echo on it, kind of nearly doubles. So thank you ever so much for people that are listening. But please, please, please go and click the sponsors. Click on the sponsors page at BritishTechNetwork.com and go and see Pusher.com because they've got some fantastic stuff if you want to do things online. And also click on UK2 because we need their support. Without UK2, this podcast would fold and all the other podcasts on the network because we kill them on bandwidth, but they keep coming back for more. They really have been looking after us, so please support them. Thanks ever so much. Right then.
Without UK2, there's no way because what we'd pay in bandwidth costs, there's no way we'd be able to afford the new adapters.
That's true. I could either afford the bandwidth for a month with UK2 or I could buy a set of earphones from Apple. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, it's time for your cool thing. What do you think that we rename this section now that Steve's well and truly gone and he's no longer an influence on Apple? And I think Jenks is right to say that. I think as a mark of respect, we instead of calling this the cool thing, we should call this one more thing.
Oh.
No?
I love it.
Okay. Well, Kelly says yes, that's fine by me.
Yeah. We don't have a say now.
Motion carried. So, have you got one more thing, Don?
Yes, I have. And it's something that I've discovered literally within the last 10 minutes. Someone sent me an email about something, and it looks brilliant. It's a free utility. Now, it's not going to be for everybody, but eventually we'll all have Retina displays on all our Macs, won't we? But the problem at the moment with the Retina displays, if you try and do a screenshot, it actually produces a screenshot at double size, so ooh, it's a bit of a pain, so I have to rescale them. But someone's done this utility called Retina Capture, and what it does on a Retina display is it allows you to do a screen capture, either the full screen or a time screen or just a portion of the screen. But when it takes a screen capture, what it does is it creates, and it's optional, you can switch it on or off, it creates the 2x image and also a single size image as well. So it rescales, it gives you 2 screenshots, one at normal resolution and one at double resolution. And that's great if you're doing lots of blog posts and stuff. You want them to be Retina ready. You can use both images. So it looks pretty good, actually. It's over at retinacapture.com, and it's free. And
excellent.
But it will only work on Retina screens. It works on a normal screen, but it'll just take the single scaled image. But on a Retina display, it takes 2.
If you could put a link in the chat room, not in the chat room, in the doc for us, Don, that'd be great. Thanks very much.
Problem.
And then we can get Miles. Miles Wheatley. I want to say thanks to Miles Wheatley because he does the show notes every week. He's Paul Wheatley's dad. And he, from absolutely nowhere at all, takes all the stuff that we've put in the doc, whether we talked about it or not, and makes it into the show notes for us. It's under the Snotes thing. So thanks, Miles. Do appreciate it. And also James Ormiston, again, this week, has done all the docs for all of the shows with all the stories. And meant that I've got a social life a little bit when I get home with the kids. So thanks again, Jimmy. Do appreciate it immensely. Very, very kind of you. Mr. Swagger, what do you have?
I have a thing called Ultrasonic. It's a free app in the store. And honestly, the other day I was sitting here working at the desk, and I had this, I guess it was a gnat or a mosquito or something. It just kept bugging me. There must be an app for this. And I found one. It's called Ultrasonic, and it has things on here, oddly enough, for mosquitoes. And it did work. I can't say that it's foolproof that it worked with this app or not. But they have things for mosquitoes, cockroaches, rats, dogs. Haven't tried it on a dog yet, and even humans. So if someone's annoying you as a human, just do that.
You know why you can hear it?
Mm.
Because if you didn't, you wouldn't buy it, and you say it was a piece of crap, and you get your money back. You'd say it doesn't work. There's no noise coming out. I can't believe that a mosquito hears that. Well, did the mosquito curl up and die or fly away?
It flew away. I never had a problem with again with it. Oh. I need to try it on a dog though. I'd like to try it on the neighbor's dog
before they eat it.
You said it, mate. I didn't.
Well, set it to dog now. Pippa's right here.
All right, go on. Here we go. Here's Pippa the dog. Turn your volume up, then, DHM.
All right.
Yep.
Put it on dog.
Okay.
Go dog.
And now it's on dog.
That looks like a sleeping dog lying there.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah.
Well, the frequency response of your microphone might be picking it up and transmitting it. So it's a very
that's true. Let's blame Skype.
Or it could be a pile of shite that he was sucking into buying. There we go. There's the other option.
No, that's the best. That's the best part. It's free.
Right. Your official mission is to do a scientific test before next week's Swagger and go out and A, piss off a dog, and B, piss off another mosquito. So it wasn't a fluke.
How am I going to do that though? With when I have to, do I have to record it?
No, just promise you did it. That's all.
Oh, okay, that's simple.
Yeah. Kelly, what do you have for us, girl?
Okay, I have two picks. I have one software and one hardware. My software pick is an app called Flux, and it's from a company called Stereopsis.com. Is their website StereoPSIS.com. And they make an app called Flux. And the cool thing about Flux is if you are somebody who spends a lot of time at your computer, particularly late at night, you may have a hard time sleeping. And this is a hard wire in your brain that is really hard to undo because the bright screen is sort of wiring your head to think daytime. And then when you shut it off and try to go to sleep, it's hard to unwind. And what Flux does is it adjusts the color of your display so that it's a little bit warmer at night and a little bit brighter during the day, and you tell it where you are, so it knows, you know, as the days get shorter or as days get longer, when to adjust accordingly, the adjustment on your screen. Now, if you're somebody who works in print and needs absolute color calibration and all of that, this isn't necessarily the best app for you, but for most folks, it's going to be fine. And the thing I really like about it is if I want to do the last email pass before I go to bed or something like that, it actually is adjusting, and then I actually sleep better since I've started using it. So yeah. I think that's pretty awesome.
That works.
And it's free. I think it's Donateware. That's all it is I think you, and when you donate, it just goes to charity or something. So it's not even, you know, super, and it's not even onerous. I don't think they have like a set amount. It's just, if you really like it, like I kicked them $10 because I thought it was great. And it's absolutely worth it. I'll probably donate more to them in the future if it continues to work.
Okay.
My second pick is my keyboard skin from my laptop. part of why I have it is because I don't like the action on the current iteration of chiclet keyboards from my laptop. And the other reason I have it is because it actually makes typing a little bit quieter. And I do a lot of working remotely, like at a coffee shop or at a pub. And also, like in a conference, it's nice to not be.
I do a lot of working at a pub.
Well, it is a pub. So
I'm getting
that
close.
That doesn't surprise us, Rankin.
I'm getting close to proposing here, Kelly. I do a lot of work at a pub. Nearly tip me over, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I do. I promise.
She said. She said I do. She said I do.
Oh yes! Yeah! Yeah!
No.
The future ex Mrs. Rankin. I'll
be working in a pub on Tuesday, you, and if that's any good for you. Yeah. Is that, are you telling me that's not quite so inviting?
No, mate. You're already taken, if you know what I mean. Let's not go there. Kelly, good pick. What's the price on that?
I believe it is. I'm going to go back. It's mine in particular is from a company called Moshi. And the reason that it pleases me as much as it does is because it's very, very thin. It's $24.95 US from their store. You can get them in other colors. They have a wireless option if you have the Bluetooth Apple keyboard. They have one for that. They have one for the larger keyboards. You can get, you know, whichever one it is that you desire. I absolutely recommend the skin for another reason, which is it's really hard to get underneath these keys to clean them. So it's very nice to also help protect from getting just life, you know, dust and lint and everything underneath the keys, because cleaning out under the new keyboards kind of sucks. So $25
and it's awesome. Hands up, anyone here who cleans underneath their keyboard? See, it's only you.
It's just me, okay.
See, look, if I put that up, see, look, that's my keyboard. Yeah, that's how clean
I'll that ask. Is. She said they were in different colors. I'll ask on Don's behalf, is there a bundled offer there?
There may be, but I don't know size-wise if it meets Don's standards.
Well, you know, Don needs to get a hold of them because they could have the Don bundled special for that. All color. You know, you ought to do that with Apple, Don. For, you know, they got all the colors now for the iPods. They ought to put a Don bundled special there.
Oh, let's see. I just wanted to let me back in the app store.
I'm waiting because I didn't know until DHM told me on Wednesday night that, you know, the piano black iPod, the long one, there's a program where they change those now. I didn't even know that they did this. They changed those for a brand new one. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting, waiting, waiting until the new ones come out. And then I'm going to take that in and demand me new one. I've got two of those upstairs.
Oh, for the battery issue?
Yeah, yeah. I got two. Yeah. I didn't even know that they did a replacement.
Yeah, it's battery recall on some models. I think you have to check your serial number. I'm not sure. I'm sure if you take it in, they'll work it out for you. But that was how I ended up with my...
No, in my luck, it won't be an exchange one.
Well, that was how I ended up with my Nano, was because that's what they ended up sending as the warranty exchange.
I'm going to wait. Until the other ones have gone depleted a bit, then I'll have the new ones. Oh. DHM, what have you got for us, pal?
I have got... a couple of picks, two picks, actually. One is, I'll do the second one first, because my brain's gone into freeze and I can't remember what the first one is, but it'll come back to me.
Good lad.
iPhone app. Harking back to my earlier days as of nicknames, this is a really nice little photo app called Earth Porn.
Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Who says Greenie's missing? Go on.
But it's okay, because it's just porn.
What?
It's not.
The room's gone. Even the chat room's gone silent. They're like, they don't know what to say.
No, it's...
What?
It's,
don't show the screen.
Photos of gorgeous places around the world.
Oh, okay.
Go through. It's really high-res photo images of places, and it's updated all the time. And
the two pictures you've shown, look, they were taken by on Mars. That's still Mars.
Still.
That's still Mars with people on it. It's Curiosity.
No. Look at the size of those mounds.
Oh, jeez. Have you got another pick? Have you got another pick, mate? Yeah, lovely.
It's free. It's quite nice, and you can send them to people. You can use them as your desktops and your things like that. That's all.
Jake's in the chat room says, Dr. Happy Mac doesn't clean up porn on other people's computers. He just transfers it to his own.
I tell you, it's a very quick way to build up an enormous stash.
And Batwinch has already Batwinch has already identified it's New Mexico.
Whee!
Well all done, right. Girl.
Where's that one then?
It said something valley on it, but that's New Mexico, apparently.
North India, somewhere there.
Oh, you lost, Batwinch. Not good. Free porn. There we go. Yes. And did you say you had another?
No, what was the other one?
Is the other one publishable?
Oh, yes, I know. I've got it.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone goes like absolutely crazy over Super Duper for doing your sort of backup and cloning and things like that. And I've been using it for years and years, and it is brilliant and free, which is excellent. But the other, there's a sort of another application in the same mold, which tends to get overlooked slightly, which is Carbon Copy Cloner, which I'd stopped using a few years ago, and I started using again earlier in the week. And it had kind of had a big splash over the website. Now, Mountain Lion, et cetera, et cetera. And I grabbed a copy of it, and I needed to do a clone of a customer's computer and install Mountain Lion on it. And fantastic. It plugged the drive in, wanted to do a clone. Oh, it said, this drive hasn't got a recovery partition on it. Better make a recovery partition. It made the recovery partition, cloned the recovery stuff onto the recovery partition, carried straight on with the rest of the cloning things. And I thought, yeah, I've overlooked this one. I've been using a Super Duper for years and years, but Carbon Copy Cloner, it's an oldie, but it's certainly received a bit of a kick up the backside in the last few weeks.
Hmm.
Nice.
Very good.
Mm. Yeah. Mm, if you've kind of been using it before and you switched to Super Duper or something, go back and have another go at Carbon Copy Cloner. The latest version is leaps. It's come on in leaps.
So what's the price again?
Free.
Oh, it's free. Cool.
Oh, sweet.
No, it's free. I thought that was charged. I thought it was a $20 jobby. Excellent pick.
Mm.
My cool things are...
Guinness.
No.
The Guinness in the glass?
The Mobi Magic Chargers. There you go. M-O-B-E-E. This is basically an inductive charger that goes onto your mouse and an inductive charger for your keyboard. And you get two little batteries, and the batteries fit in the existing clip that you've got for your Apple thing. And basically, you just put it on and magically, bang, it charges. You have to plug it in, obviously. It's not freestanding, though. I've unplugged them. And also, the same thing goes on with this. You get your keyboard, and your keyboard slides in, and there you go. It magically charges. Oh, where am I going? Magically charges your keyboard. They ain't cheap. They cost me £80 for the two, but they're great because I'm always running out of batteries and stuff like that. I've probably gone through £80 worth of Duracells in the last year, so it's well worth it. No quid worth false economy. There you go, false economy to have anything else. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, well, you can find me and all my stuff over at screencastonline.com and on various social networks as Don McAllister.
How long do the rechargeable batteries last, says MacBits? I don't know, because I haven't gone through one lot of them, but I would think they're probably significant enough. Good point, though. They might be quite expensive. Kyle, where are you, mate?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger or at kyleswagger.com.
Ian says, Johnny Ive is gritting his teeth already. He doesn't like inductive charging, does he? Guess not.
I don't know. No. There's no cable involved. It might be good.
Yeah. Kelly, where are you going?
You can find me at tuaw.com or occasionally guest hosting on Angry Mac Bastards. And you can find me on Twitter as Verso.
Thank you, Mrs. And finally, DHM, where are you, sir?
I'm at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter. And you can find me cruising the length and breadth of the M4 on the National Express service from London to Cirencester.
For a 12-hour stint.
Three small hours of the morning.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. It was good seeing you, though. It was nice. Good comments.
It was a little bit rushed, but, you know, hey-ho. It was good to...
It is what it is.
Down, yes.
We'll be back again next week as normal. We'll have a good panel as well. And we'll have the big show this evening. We didn't do it last night because I got delayed coming back from London, unfortunately. Didn't walk through the door until 8:45, so I wasn't going to start then. We're going to have a big show tonight at 8 p.m. with me, Eric Lanigan. Alex Fox is joining us, and we've got James, and we've got Ian Grant coming back in. So do tune in and have a watch in the live in the chat room. See you then. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Toodaloo.
Bye.